Hi, I'm Erica Ramirez, founder of Illy and host of What About Your Friends, a podcast dedicated to the many lives of friendship and how it's portrayed in pop culture. Every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, I talk to my best friend, Stephen Othello, and your favorites from within the Ringer and beyond about friendships on TV, in movies, pop culture, and our real lives. So join me every Wednesday on the Ringer Dish feed, where we try to answer the question TLC asked back in the day, what about your friends?
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. With over 122 million parts, from superchargers and brakes to exhaust kits and beyond, eBay Motors levels your baby up to its peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Cold open question of the week, Cal Davenport. Sergeant Slaughter's daughter has called out Lacey Evans over her new, shall we say, Sergeant Slaughter-esque gimmick. If Twitter existed in the entirety of pro wrestling history, what do you think the best "you stole my gimmick" Twitter call out would be?
You stole my gimmick Twitter. I mean, it would have to be, what was his name in the WCW? Renegade? If the Ultimate Warrior had Twitter at that point, he would have lambasted that. I forget my man's name, you know, bless his heart. He did the best that he could do for, what was it, $75,000, whatever he was getting paid every year. But, gosh almighty, that may be
his,
it.
His name is Rick Wilson. He's no longer with us. Rest in peace,
Rick. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that would have been bad. I'm not sure. I probably would have had the Ultimate Warrior muted on Twitter, so I'm not quite sure that I would have seen that. But right. But yeah, no, that would have been a bad one. I mean, listen, everybody's going to say, the Road Warriors are calling out Demolition on Twitter. Yeah. But, you know, there were a lot of people that were biting off the Road Warriors gimmick. It wasn't just Demolition. A lot of people did it a lot more blatantly. And, of course, you know, everyone's talking about all the various Nature Boys. It's always
Ric
Flair wasn't the first Nature Boy. Everybody knows this.
But Buddy Landell being on, like, you know, Saturday Night, and Ric Flair's on the plane on Twitter, you know, he'd be talking hella shit. I mean, you kind of have to at that point.
Absolutely. Ric Flair certainly thinks he's the original Nature Boy, and that Buddy Landell would have been just ripping him off.
Right.
But you know who the worst would have been? Guaranteed.
Who?
Jerry the King Lawler. Anytime anybody just picked up a scepter or given a tiara, anytime this any similar, every king of the ring would have just been Jerry the King Lawler just ripping off insults on Twitter. What? Mad that anybody else took a step towards the king gimmick.
But it would have gotten worse though, because like Jerry, like I've seen his drawings, like he is creative. Jerry mm-hmm. probably would have been like a Photoshop guy. Like it would have been one image of him pointing, and he would replace it with the new person with a crown or the scepter. Yeah, it would have gotten ugly real quick.
Yeah, no, the king was the worst. The king used to, you remember, do you know the king sued? I think most people know this. He like sued WWE, had a big lawsuit, like won a court case that he was like the official king of wrestling in the Louisville, Memphis, whatever market, like wherever, like, you know, his promotion ran. So
that
like,
one region,
King Harley, when WWF came to town, they just said it was Harley Race. There was no King Harley Race anymore. They couldn't do it in that territory.
Rough. That's
but the big thing was Lawler just used to go on his CWA television and just like cut promos in their tiny studio and just say like, I beat WWF in a court case and I am the official king of wrestling. And it worked for him, man.
He really owned that town. And now look at it. Now WWE is apparently still blocking everybody out of the different arenas, depending on when you scheduled your show. What a mess. What a mess.
Yeah, well, I guess people could talk about that on Twitter. That's happening right now. Anyway, Tony Khan, get ready. Let's start the show.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
You're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
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 Welcome to the Masked Man Show. Technically with Kaz, that's the name, except today Kaz isn't here. Kaz is a little bit under the weather, so he's being replaced in the rotation by, well, we got two members of Wednesday Worldwide here, Cal Davenport and Brian H. Waters. How you boys doing?
Worldwide? No, I'm sorry. Wrong show. Wrong day. Wrong show. I'm sorry. Not doing good. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I just want to say, before we get too deep in this, there have been a lot of ripoffs in pro wrestling history. I want to, before we get away from the Sergeant Slaughter thing altogether, a lot of people stole gimmicks. It's all about what you do with the gimmick. Now, Lacey Evans has not done a lot with the gimmick yet, but I don't think Sergeant Slaughter has much of a leg to stand on here. For one, he wasn't the first military wrestler. And two, he claimed to be a Marine. He legitimately did the stolen valor. Like, he pretended he was a Marine and he was not. So I guess that makes it more pro wrestling. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a G.I. Joe character like that. I knew him as the guy on the TV when I realized that he wrestled as well. Oh, my God. But like, is Sergeant Slaughter's daughter also a wrestler? Like, what's she just saw Lacey on TV and said, you're a thief?
Yeah. Yes. She's like, there's only one. Who the F does... This is not okay at WWE. Who the F does at Lacey Evans think she is? There's only one at Sergeant Slaughter. Well, actually, for the record, the tweet says there's only one at _ Sergeant Slaughter. So apparently there's more than one at Sergeant Slaughter. I mean, somebody got there first. And then she says there's only one Slaughter daughter. She's just a poser.
Slaughter daughter sounds like she's going to be pro wrestling.
Let's see. Slaughter daughter. It's _ Sergeant daughter. Oh, I take it all back. Sergeant daughter means you win every argument. That's the
Sergeant
greatest
daughter.
Wrestling pun. Yeah, doesn't look like she's a worker, but who knows? Who knows? Apparently, Slaughter was offered the opportunity to work with Lacey Evans in this gimmick and said no.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a situation where they thought that he was going to be able to do this with them, and now he's not able to, and they don't like seeing her do it without him.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe he thought by saying no, put the kibosh on the game. It doesn't matter. Dude, she was really, like, she's really ex-military. Like, she
right.
did, like this is a, it's a, it's a great idea. Listen, I was a fan of the sassy Southern Belle. There's certainly a real, you know, presumably low ceiling on that gimmick. But, as far as you got to repackage her, I mean, she's really ex-military. This is a good gimmick.
It makes more sense than other things you could be doing with her. But I still, this isn't going to, like, for everything that could be going on with Lacey Evans, like Sergeant Slaughter's daughter, the sergeant daughter coming at her while this gimmick is just starting. That's got to be the worst thing to happen, because if it's not this, it's the timeline not liking Lacey Evans or something like that. She can't get a star for anything.
Yeah, if she's gonna have to feud with somebody on Twitter, let it be somebody that can get some heat on her, not just like not Sergeant Daughter.
Sergeant Daughter.
Sergeant Daughter is great, but no one's screaming for that match. Right?
She's not wrestling this week. She's not going to be on Raw this week, so it's not going to make any difference for her. But you know, what can you do? This is also like maybe some of the best engagement she gets for a while.
Yeah, it's true. That's probably not a compliment. I was actually mentioning WrestleMania. I was actually like toying around with doing early WrestleMania, like WrestleMania predictions.
Oh my. This week,
and I don't think we're quite there yet.
Yeah.
Is it? Today is, I believe, the 1 year. This isn't a WrestleMania thing, but because what got me thinking about this is the 1 year anniversary of Cody Rhodes coming out unveiling the torn pec to
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell is it to the crowd and everybody just gasping, you know, for dear life.
Well, that worked out better than I thought. At the time, I didn't know what that that 6+ month situation was going to, that time off was going to be, but
we're in a weird place with him now, right?
Yeah,
he's gonna apparently. So the whispers now are that the scuttlebutt, the rumor mill is saying he's gonna get back with Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're thinking now?
That's what I've been seeing. The chatter is I that would be the final of the three matches, right? So it makes
Detroit,
sense.
Is Detroit more Cody territory or Brock territory? Who's the home team in that match? Brock's from the northern. I mean, he's like a neighbor to Michigan, right? But Cody, it's a blue collar town. Cody runs right. Americana, that whole thing. I mean, I'm not sure.
I think the thing is yeah. Cody's daddy was a blue collar man. Cody's daddy wasn't going to walk in with, like, you know, the powder blue suit and the nice tie with an entourage. Like, I think they're going to see a Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar, just appearance wise, may get may get more approval just based off of that. And I mean, he feels more like a mod, like making cars. He could probably rip a car in half, but like coal mining or something, like anything that would involve just like getting in with a tool. I feel like that's Brock and the people would feel that from him there. But, I don't know. Detroit's an interesting town. What's the last big pro wrestler that was in Detroit that, like, you know, that is there anything we can kind of gather from there recently?
What, wrestlers from Detroit?
Well, like moments in Detroit. I can't think. Like, no. I think of the Pontiac Silverdome for WrestleMania 3. Like, that's really that's it.
We did this. We think this came up on the Masked Man show previously. Though I said there's like Bad News Brown and like the original, who's not really from there.
Right.
He's a Canadian dude. And the original Sheik. I mean, obviously, big time wrestling operated out of there. And that has if you want to really read into that, I mean, that was he's the original hardcore guy, right? I mean, he was the original, just like tape up a pencil and poke you in the eyeball with it.
Yeah.
And throw fireballs, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, hardcore. It's a blood and guts kind of town, but that could go for that could work for either of them. I don't know. But anyway, my real question is, how many limbs do you think Cody Rhodes is going to have in this match? Do you think he's going to, or is this just going to be Cody Rhodes with like one leg and a broken arm and just everything else is ripped from his body by this point? Like, how are we getting, how is Cody Rhodes going to be over? How many things is he going to have obliterated for that to be, for him to be like the sympathetic baby face in this match?
Do you remember like in the comic books, like that guy Cable, he had that big, just like metal arm that he would use. Like he was like
remember Cable.
He might need something like that. Hey, I don't know. I don't know how nerdy we get in some of these rooms, but yeah, he's going to need something like that. I feel like he's going to have to turn into a cyborg or something to retain his limbs. But yeah, I was also wondering with the way that each of the matches have gone, you know, what this third match has got to have some type of stipulation, right? Is it going to be a last man standing or a false count anywhere? I feel like it's going to be something. So
great call.
Brock could be looking to rip his whole head off just to make sure that he's not getting back up and able to function, because the problem is that may be what he has to do. And I think that's kind of, you mentioned earlier, you know, Cody being in a different, you know, situation than he was this time last year. I think he's working toward, like, what we're getting now is what I thought we would have been getting working towards, you know, this previous WrestleMania, really getting dirty, getting the shit kicked out of him by someone like Brock Lesnar. Like, this feels kind of like the start of some type of championship track for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the good and the bad is that they're not pushing him straight to the Raw title,
right?
But it does feel like kind of almost equally predetermined, right? Like, it's like in a, you know, there's nothing bad with being able to see where a storyline's going if they're right. telling the story well and everything. But
right.
I just feel like, you know, we're going to get a bunch of Brock Lesnar matches and he'll eventually come out on top. And then we'll get some, they'll find some other feud. Who can be even more diabolical than Brock Lesnar?
Well, there's a couple things in motion too, though, right? Because like we're speaking on the day where Seth is going to be defending the world title against Damian Priest. I wonder if maybe we're on the one side, we're building what this, what Cody's potentially going to be. On the other side, we're kind of building this new, they have to establish this new title. Cause I think at some point we're going to get Cody at that title at the, with Seth having it or with, I'm assuming with Seth, but it's going to happen. I wonder if they're just trying to build everything to a certain point.
What do you think? What title do you think Cody's going to get first between this one? If he is at next WrestleMania, he walks out of next WrestleMania with either the WWE, whatever they're calling it, or the Roman Reigns belt or the Seth Rollins belt. Which belt does he have first?
I think he gets the Seth Rollins belt, but he gets that before Mania. Yeah, I could see him holding that by the end of the year. I don't know how long he's going to hold it, but I think he may end up getting that U.S. title. The Intercontinental title is what Gunther has on Raw right now. Mm-hmm. That's going to be happening very soon. And I think once he has a run with that, then he'll be going for the world title.
Do you think he's
going
to be the one to dethrone Gunther?
They had that moment at the Rumble, and it's been referenced a couple times. Is Brock Lesnar the pedestal to get to a Gunther title match? I don't know. It makes sense to me.
That makes a lot of sense because that helps. That puts Gunther over too, right?
And then maybe you could have Gunther going for the world title. I don't know. There's a lot of things they could do right now in Raw. It's a fairly interesting predicament they're in right now.
It is. I mean, you mentioned the Damian Priest thing. It's like it's not only that they're establishing the belt, they're establishing their own tiers sort of right now. Right?
Exactly.
I mean, they get to figure out, they get to sort of tell us who matters.
They need to.
You go on WWE.com and there's like an art, like the first article below the big top part is like, so how did Judgment Day reach this level of dominance or become so dominant? And it's just like, oh, well, you know, I don't really think about them as dominant, but okay. But that's like clearly like how they're trying to position them, right? I mean, they're at the top. And I mean, Damian Priest is one thing, but I mean, Finn Balor, right. nobody would blink twice about seeing him in the main event, you know? So, I mean, they get to build up a lot of these guys. That's to say nothing of Sammy and KO, who are still hanging around with the tag belts, and I mean, right. there's a lot of options over there. Speaking of options, the Money in the Bank qualifiers are going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the matches that we have left to come, and I feel like I can tell you with about 99.9% confidence who's going to win every single match.
I gotta check. What
so
this
far on the men's side, we have Ricochet is in. Shinsuke Nakamura is in. LA Knight is in after that just devilish pulled rope roll up over Montez Ford.
It happens.
Storytelling, guys. Storytelling. I love that they're just shoving heel LA Knight down everybody's throat just because they know how sweet that pop is going to be when he eventually turns or sort of turns or does whatever.
Make him wait.
That was a fun match. And normally I would cry about Montez getting losing that because he should be the sort of Money in the Bank match. He's just an obvious candidate for that. But hopefully this is part of a bigger storyline to sort of do something, you know, to get him, get both the Profits and Bianca Belair on losing streaks, and let's have some fun. Yeah. But anyway, so it's Ricochet, Shinsuke, LA Knight, Matt Riddle, and then the other two matches, qualifying matches, are Santos Escobar versus Mustafa Ali and Butch versus Baron Corbin. I don't think this is 100% of a given, but two of those guys are in NXT right now. It would make a lot of sense, Escobar, to go over Mustafa Ali, get some heat back behind him or behind him on the main roster for the first time.
Right.
And then Butch versus Baron Corbin, I mean, it could go either way, I guess, but the fact that Butch is in this at all just makes me feel like they've already decided they want Butch in that match.
Right. Why else would he be here? Well, and I mean, Baron Corbin literally just started a whole program with Carmelo. So
that's what I'm saying. Him and Ali are just like chilling on a different show right now.
Who knows? And maybe that's just, you know, brand synergy. Maybe it's, oh, you like these guys on this night, you can see them again tomorrow. Now, I don't know, but I'm with you. It definitely looks like two of these people are going to be making sense, and then two more people are going to be showing up on NXT again.
Exactly. So yeah, we'll see.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And then over on the ladies' side, Zelina Vega is in. That's the only one that's been decided so far, right? Right. Okay. So Everybody hold up a hand. Let's see if we all vote together. We'll do this one by one. Natalia versus Zoe Stark. Who you got, Brian?
Zoe Stark.
Cal?
Zoe Stark.
Yeah, there's no way Natalia's winning that match. The next one is, let me skip around. Shotzi versus, wait. Sorry, Bailey versus Shotzi. No. Sorry, Shotzi versus Io Sky.
Going to Io Sky.
They do like Shotzi in this.
They do
sort
like
of match,
Shotzi, yeah.
But it's Io Sky all the way. There's no way Io Sky's not getting unless she blows out her knee and like on the way to the ring. She's Shotzi, winning that match.
Wasn't there some talk about the last match in Shotzi? There was. I'm not saying that they wouldn't put her in it, but I remember there being some talk about.
There's always some scuttlebutt in Shotzi Blackheart matches, but I think everybody came to her defense in that one from the inside. So anyway, Mishin, aka Mia Yim, versus Bailey.
I'm going Bailey.
Bailey?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one that I wouldn't be floored if Mishin won. But yeah, I mean, that just seems like a real obvious Bailey win.
Right.
Then there's a TBD. We don't know the last one. But the other one that's on there is, I guess, a little bit more difficult. Becky Lynch versus Sonya Deville. I'm going to say with all of my, I'm going to bet all of my money, all of my imaginary money on Sonya Deville. I don't think Becky Lynch is going to be in a Money in the Bank ladder match. Doesn't need to be in a Money in the Bank ladder match. And you could probably go online right now and find like 8 interviews where Becky Lynch has said Sonya Deville is the next big thing in the women's division. Like, yeah. Becky Lynch herself has like done everything she could to put Sonya Deville over.
And Becky could be in, like, that night, whatever Raw women's title match is going on, Becky could be in that match. So, you know,
you're fighting Trish Stratus again or doing whatever. Like, she's got other stuff to do.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, though. The only way I would see Becky being in the match is to feud with Zoe Stark, the story within the story.
Oh.
I could see that.
Yeah. That could be. But that's also 2 matches. Like, why would you... would you shortchange yourself?
That's true. Or is she not in the match? And then she caused Zoe Stark the opportunity to win to keep Zoe Stark strong.
You could do that too. Yeah, you could do that.
Anyway, I think that I feel like I can see where all this is going. Who's your early pick, both of you, for your Money in the Bank winner on both sides?
Zelina Vega.
Wow. Oh,
really?
Mm-hmm. I feel like she will carry the briefcase well. I feel like we've seen women.
Might have to get like a slightly smaller briefcase for her. She could ride in the briefcase.
It's just like we've seen the briefcase being the women cash in all the time, right? But Zelina Vega is someone who has that crossover appeal. So mm-hmm. I could see her showing up to this at anime conventions with the briefcase in hand, at different video game conventions with the briefcase in hand, and then cashing in on the right opportunity, especially on a good idea.
Cal, what do you think about the women's side?
The women's side?
There's a big TBD there. So the TBD could be everything, but just based on what we know.
Right now, I'm going with Io Sky right now. I don't know. I feel like may be vying for some titles soon. Ooh.
I totally agree. I think that based on what we have, listen, the women's division still needs some help, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, some storyline help. A ton of talent there. They need to just have more things, more interesting things going on. So what I'm about to say, I know sort of eliminates, I mean, you could do more things if you didn't do what I'm about to say. Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's sort of an interesting world in which, like, Damage Control has the SmackDown Women's Championship and the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
And then you get some, like, little tension from that. Maybe Bayley's got the briefcase and Io Sky's got the championship. And then, like, what, do you really still trust?
Right.
Do you really still trust Bayley, who's standing around behind you all the time, like, right outside the ring holding this briefcase?
It's
you can have some fun with that.
They kind of, it's like you have a mini Bloodline story, but it's based off of titles and potential in the future as opposed to, you know, actual blood.
Dude, that is the greatest segue of all time, and you didn't even know it.
Yes.
You know what I saw online more than anything? The great Bloodline segment on SmackDown on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's a tension-filled hug, you got me. All right? It's worth the price of admission. But I saw more than anything people sort of complimenting the Bloodline storyline, and just there seemed to be a very loud chorus of, why does this need the championship belt? Couldn't we be doing this without the title?
What would be the point? I think if you're not fighting, again, it's like saying, wouldn't Succession have made more sense if it had been that more down to earth if it was about like a paper company and running like a local paper company? Like, I think the stakes, what they're fighting to maintain, makes it important. I don't know if Roman doesn't have the title, why would Solo bother to help him continue to win these matches for what?
Well, because the Tribal Elders have made just, you know, they brought him into the WWE to be Roman's protector. But from like a logical level, you're right. I mean, I think that you're right. First of all, I think that that the idea of doing a new season of The Office, but with the Succession creative team is like the greatest idea ever.
Yes.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it's especially with two titles. Now I guess the argument is, why not just give the title to the folks on Raw and let Roman hold this down? But I think it's if you're going to say the title doesn't matter, then like, let's go all in. The title does matter here, right? But like, it's also why not let him have it if the title doesn't matter? If this doesn't matter here, I think it does bring so much more gravity to this. It wouldn't be the main event. That hug wouldn't be in the main event spot if the title wasn't attached to it the same way.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was a lot of that. What?
I mean, he made it clear with Jey Uso when he held the title back in, what was that, September, October 2020. He said, this is how we eat. This is how I feed not only my family, but your family. I'm the head of the table. I am the tribal chief. So that right there lets you know that title matters because it's how he puts food on the table. And it's the hierarchy. And that's the part that the IWC is missing.
Yeah. If he had lost the title, oof, then what would they be for? What would the story be right now? Like, they would have already lost.
See, if Roman Reigns, I don't know if he was born, I don't know if his father or one of the elders looked at him when he was 7 years old and said, "You're going to be the undisputed WWE Universal Champion."
That would be wild if that happened. I would love it.
And he was like, it's like, what are you talking about? No, but like, it, for someone who feels like what they're doing right now is what they've been working towards, you want to hold on to that. He was just holding up the 1,000-day photo, 1,000-day piece of paper like Will Chamberlain back just last week. I don't know if he's ready to lose the schedule. You know, like there's a lot that comes of being Roman Reigns in 2023 as a champion. Are you talking
about like in kayfabe or in the real world?
I'm talking in kayfabe. I don't know how much of his real world bleeds into the kayfabe, but what I'm saying is, like, it's like Kendall Roy. Kendall Roy wanted to be the CEO. That was what he was destined to do. And when that job is not there, that man is lost in the world. I don't think Roman wants to see that, so he's going to hold on to the title, which means I got to have Solo in line and I got to have the Usos in line to help protect this legacy.
But does he have the Usos in line anymore?
I think that's the great part of storytelling. That's why I like seeing this story develop like this, because Jay is in the middle. Sometimes Jay's more Roman. His brother is definitely on the other side. He's got the kicks to prove it. But we're in that right now. I think that I don't know if any of this makes any sense without that title sitting in the background waiting for people to figure out, because Jimmy may want that. Jay may want that. There's a lot that goes into this.
I mean, I think that Roman's sort of a bad manager at this point. And, you know, part of the storyline is him just, you know, kind of losing the thread a little bit. But, man, I mean, you got your apology. You need these guys around, right? I mean, Solo can't just do everything for you. So why not just accept it? Does he really need the Samoan Spike to prove a point?
I think so. Because if he does the Samoan Spike, he'll think twice about kicking him in the face again. He'll think twice about bucking at him, you know, jumping in his face.
Yeah, the Samoan Spike's waiting there.
But it's a difference once you feel it for the first time.
This is how he teaches his lessons, right? Like he could have took the chair and beat up on Kevin Owens, but he's like, nah, Sammy, you do it.
That's whose fault it is from the beginning. I've been saying that for months.
And look where that got him.
Well, no, that's the flaw, right? That's why this is good storytelling, because we're able to see over 3 years now. I know how Roman Reigns acts because I've seen him do this over the last 3 years. You know what I'm saying? And Jay understands that. That's why Jay's trying to get Jimmy on board. I don't know. We can get so deep into this, but I don't. This story is so involved right now. And I don't know if any of it even matters if there isn't a nice new belt around Roman Reigns' chest.
Let's talk about the new belt. I mean, we should also talk about the reign, right? Is he hit 1,000 days officially now?
He's over. They took the photo. I think it may have been a couple of days after. Let's consult the good old cage match. It was on Night of Champions, right?
Yeah. On Night of Champions.
So he's got the 1,000 days. I mean, I think you don't have to be playing coy or something just to say like, no, this is a thing that actually matters to WWE, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have determined that on some level it's a value to them to say that this is the greatest champion of all time. And so, you know, most people I think that are complaining about Roman Reigns, you know, that are saying that doesn't need the title would probably still be willing to put Roman Reigns up there in the, you know, on the Mount Rushmore, maybe not number one far and away, but like he's up there. So on some level, this is like just like kayfabe by extension, right? If you're willing, you see what WWE is doing, they're just trying to like make this the gimmick. Then you know you got to accept that they're just going to let him hang on to the title, unless probably for beyond the normal realms of expectation.
2,000 days.
What do you think about the new title belt? Brian, I'm going to go to you first as a guy with a bunch of replica title belts behind you on the wall. Yeah. Did you like the look of the new one?
I like the look. I like the look a lot. I was, you know, you kind of saw when they brought it out, the design, you could see, okay, it's still going to have that same shape, but it fits. I'm excited to see, is this going to be, and I think it is, I think this is going to be the title moving forward versus this is just Roman's belt, and then we'll go back to whether it's the black one or the blue one, but I think this is going to be the belt moving
forward. No, this is the one moving forward. They're just going to combine the lineages for all the people that are crying about lineages.
That's what I was wondering. So this is going to follow, I'm assuming, just the universal lineage will be technically over, and this is now the WWE lineage?
I think they'll just somehow make it all disappear. They'll subsume them into two. It'll have like a Wikipedia page. It'll have like a hyperlink in Wikipedia, and no one will ever talk about it again.
Yeah, but I definitely like the I like the look a lot.
Yeah. What do you think, Cal? Not so much?
No, I was actually I'm trying to, because of what I have to do, I have to see if they've switched over from undisputed WWE Universal Championship. I think it's still technically undisputed. That may even be, I like it. I like the design of, I like the shape and design of the WWE logo on this. I'm glad they didn't stray, because I enjoy the way both of those belts look. It felt like it made sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it looks really good. Do you think that, what do you think about this like simmering tension between Roman Reigns and Triple H? Like, Triple H straight up hugged Seth Rollins after he won the title. And it's not like they and kayfabe are like best friends.
Oh, no, well, remember when Triple H announced the World Heavyweight title, he mentioned specifically, it wasn't like directly, we're putting this title out here because that bastard is sitting at home. But like,
no, he basically said that.
Yeah, but he mentioned, you know, we need a fighting champion. We need stuff going on. And if that one's going to sit there, we need somebody else to have it. So I've been wondering if that was a like storyline, or if Triple H just doesn't realize how things are sounding, but it feels like
it's deliberate. I just don't know what the end game. What's the end game?
Because like, is whoever's supposed to be the world champion, like, is it going to end up being a title versus title unification, and whoever's going to have the other title is like Triple H's choice versus Roman being the guy for X amount of days?
Listen, when they make these titles, when they introduce the new title, I think it's fair to say that they're all intelligent and historically minded enough to realize that at some point we're going to do a title unification match, right? You can't, I mean, it's like the gun above the fireplace, you know? It's like at some point that's going to go off.
Right.
But even this being wrestling, I find it hard to believe that they're already booking the unification match, right? It's like, why? It's like doing a brand split and knowing that you're going to call it off in 6 months. It's like, no, you go into the brand split with the best of intentions, right? There's no reason to do it if you don't think it's a good idea.
Some years, other years, it just feels like they did it because it's October.
Well, yeah, but
I hear what you're saying, though. I totally understand.
I don't think they're already booking the unification match. I think that whatever the WrestleMania, whatever the WrestleMania plans are written in on the chalkboard in WWE HQ, I'm guessing there's two different title matches set up.
No, I think you're right. Actually, this is what I was thinking about while you were saying it. I think there's two matches, right? And I think one is Triple H's plan, and the other is what Vince would want to do, or what Vince said. And I mean, because I feel like Triple H would maybe have an idea for a unification match. I mean, it may not happen, but like, you know, if best case scenario, we could be building, you know, towards this moment. Shit happens, and I think that's the beauty of WWE. They're able to bounce around and try and make other things work. But
what do you say? There's a Vince one and a Triple. Do you think that they have like two different WrestleManias planned?
I think that there's matches for WrestleMania that Vince would book that Triple H may not be trying to book right now based off his creative.
Well, yeah.
That's all I'm saying. I don't know how drastic it's going to be, but I think there may be two different schools of thought there. And my thought is based off of what Triple H has been doing, because it's almost a year since he's really had the pencil, right? I think he may be a little more thought out, or at least, you know, planning out a little further than Vince may be.
I think so too. I just don't think that it's
WrestleMania.
I just don't think there's a unification match already planned. You just did this, but maybe so. Maybe that's why he's like, maybe that's the answer to my question. Why this simmering tension between Triple H and Roman Reigns? How could you possibly pay that off?
Yeah. Looks like the last match of the last time they did the unification would have been the Brock Roman, when Roman got both the titles at that Mania, right? Like, I think, mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know. Looking over.
But that's like you booked yourself into a corner in that one, right? It's like, how are we going to do this again? All right, well, let's just make a unification match. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Stranger things.
I just don't think that's it. It's not a long term plan. I don't know.
You said fast triple. Let's just do it. Ring.
Who do you think? If there's two matches at WrestleMania, I said we weren't going to do it. Let's do it. Book your two title matches at WrestleMania right now.
Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins.
Wow.
I feel like we're gonna be through the Usos by WrestleMania.
Okay.
But no, you could be right. I mean, they dragged this thing out forever.
I was going to say, I right now, based off of who looks like it right now, I think it's either Roman versus Cody or Roman versus Seth. Those are the only matches that I see right now in terms of a main event.
Another one I could see, honestly.
It's so hard to get anything. At this point, it's so hard to get people invested in any Roman Reigns match that isn't a direct bloodline, situation.
Yeah. It's tough. And they got to build up because I would love to see a Gunther in that situation or somebody else. But, Gunther's got to lose a title and then he's dominant, but he's kind of just.
There's chilling. So many degrees of fantasy booking away, right? Yes. I mean, you're right. That wouldn't be that shocking, but it would still be like, you still got to do a little work. Mm-hmm. You got to make a case.
Will he be believable to take down Roman?
What?
Gunther?
Yeah, would that be like if they do Roman and Cody, it's kind of like, all right, we already know what's going to happen, right? So if you do Cody and Seth, that's one. But if you do Gunther and Roman, is that one of those matches that you could think could go either way?
No. I don't think Gunther's going to be there. I think Gunther's like, I don't know. I mean, listen, we're a long time away. You can obviously get super over and blah, blah, blah. I just feel like Gunther is like the next generation. He's like the next, he's just timeline wise. I think it's got to be someone with a little bit who's already in play. Gotcha. Maybe I'm crazy.
No, you're right.
Either that or somebody new and exciting, just super new and super young and like, shot out of a cannon and whatever. If I had to book it right now, I would do something like Seth holds the title all the way through the Rumble and then enters the Rumble to get his hands on Roman, gets the Roman Reigns match and then relinquishes the other title and let that one be like a awkward Cody Rhodes versus Kevin Owens match or something like that, just do like the next two guys up. But let Seth get Roman that way.
You know what they would do? Because that's great. And then they would decide the world heavyweight champion at Elimination Chamber in an Elimination Chamber match. That's what it would be.
Yeah.
And it would be
then they would unify him anyway.
100%.
This was the plan the whole time.
The whole time.
Oh, my God. Let's talk a little bit about about AEW, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about WrestleMania. The biggest match between now and WrestleMania, the biggest show between now and WrestleMania might just be Forbidden Door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're building. When I saw I finally saw the video of Danielson calling out Okada sitting in the mountains and whatnot. I'm here for it.
Bryan Danielson looked so badass in that video. He tugged on all of the, or did all like the dog whistles towards weird like political movements I don't want to associate myself with, but he looked like a real badass.
Right.
Not in the things that he said, just the aesthetic.
The
just
look, the, yeah, yeah, literally.
He's prepping for something. I don't know if it's just doomsday vaguely defined or something more insidious, but that was a really great video. He could have gone out and like written, give me Okada on a tissue with a crayon and held it up in front of a camera and we'd still be like losing our minds.
Right.
But I'm incredibly excited for this match. Also, Ospreay earned the Kenny Omega match at that same show. Those two matches alone are just mega super show level matches.
Indeed. I feel like that's all that's booked for the show so far. And they're already...
That's it. But that's sort of the thing with the Forbidden Door. I mean, remember last year they didn't book it until 45 minutes before the show went on the air. It was still a freaking killer card.
Right.
I just think And I have Forbidden Door is a weird one, right? It's like it's you're in a very strange space because it's your biggest show of the year by some estimate. Certainly one of your biggest two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the numbers right now. I mean, you know, there have been some reports coming out about how their like live TV attendance hasn't been as high as they wanted, even for like the Collision, CM Punk, that kind of stuff. But you know, obviously they've sold 60,000 tickets in the UK, mm-hmm. and the numbers for Forbidden Door are really good.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a huge show for them.
It's gonna be big,
but it's hard because it's kind of out of storyline, right? I mean, it's out of the you don't have the New Japan wrestlers on your TV. You don't like you know it's tough to coordinate and organize all this stuff. It's still kind of there's still this kind of like giant question of like why is Danielson calling out Okada on Twitter instead of on an episode of Dynamite,
no, right? 100%.
Like what? Like even that call out seems like it should be something that could find a place on TV. But maybe yeah. the call out to you because if you have a really short window, maybe you can get Okada on TV or do something. Then maybe you have the ability to do it now. And you so just you know you jump you leapfrog the first step. I don't know, man.
I'm looking at their scheduled events, and this is their June pay per view. It's literally smack dab in between Double or Nothing and All In England. My hope is that maybe they can make some more storyline stuff out of this because I want to say the Forbidden Door last year, the timing, there may have been another pay-per-view like right around there. So it was, you're booking for this show, like you said, that has storyline is not really involved in what's on TV and then going into something else. But regardless, I think the AEW fans and the new Japan, they're not going to care. They're going to be able to see Kenny Omega. They're going to be able to see Will Ospreay.
Is that what we're seeing? Is that why it's like, just call him out on Twitter? At this point, it's going to be good. Let's just not waste our TV time with it. I mean, I think
that's part of it. They're not going to spend a lot of time on TV doing that. I don't know if they would play the whole video. They may reference it on Dynamite, but it depends on the week. If they've got a lot of promos and AEW story to get in, I think they may have mentioned something about Willow after she won the Strong Women's title. I don't think it wasn't a whole segment, but again, it depends on where the chips fall. But they had just had
she won Anarchy a match on AEW television after that, so that's a big,
it was on Rampage. Yeah, I believe it was late last week.
Yeah.
But they just had the Anarchy in the Arena. I wonder they're phasing out of that. Maybe now's the time. Danielson said, "I'm going to do this," and doesn't care about doing it. I don't know how, like,
well, so they did this during Dominion, New Japan Dominion.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that was the focus more for that crowd. Put it on the screen as soon as Okada's match was over. And then, you know, that's when I woke up yesterday morning
and saw boom, that.
I saw it. So it was like it had just aired and then New Japan dropped the tweet.
But I'm also like, I'm not going to assume that Okada is going to be showing up
because you're mm-hmm. sharing booking, you're sharing reveals, you
right?
Know? And,
yeah,
and that's just the you know preamble for having to share booking decisions at the end, like win loss decisions at the end of it, right? I mean, they've done a pretty good job of that up to this point, but it's tough. I mean, listen, it's great. It's great.
The end result's going to be some phenomenal pro wrestling matches. So it really does. And it's not like we're getting Danielson Okada for the next couple of months anyway. They're building up toward this amazing match and it's going to be great. Eat it.
Eat it. Eat it indeed. Yeah, man. So I'm very excited. And Ospreay Omega is just, we all know how good that's going to be.
Right.
Now we got to figure out MJF. There was some implication that MJF might not even work Forbidden Door.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But I think that would be a real loss for him.
What would you do with him? Like, who would he'd have to face another champion?
No, I think it could be anybody. I mean, they could do Tanahashi or they could do, you know, like there could be a lot of different ones. He said he wanted to wrestle a legend. So I think it's somebody with a little bit of tread on, I mean, with less tread on the tire.
Yeah. But,
who knows? I just think it would be, I understand the logic of like, you don't need to put him out there. There's, you know, you're still going to get the same number of butts in seats or whatever. And we'll keep his feud with whoever the next feud is, as the top thing. But man, I think it could only reflect positively on him and his reign to go out there and get a big match.
Yeah, I was going to say, for everybody who's down talking his pro wrestling, go out there and do a good 15-17 minute match.
No one talks about it now. He just wrestled a match. We're still in the afterglow of him wrestling. We just people just, it takes us, well, maybe now, maybe this is the cutoff. It's been, it's been 1 week since the last one?
We're on week two, yeah.
Right. So after, exactly. I think it's after 9 days we're contractually obligated to forget that MJF is a good wrestler.
Did you just got to keep putting them in the chamber, letting people know, oh, you forgot I was good. Did you see what I did at Forbidden Door 2? Mm-hmm. You got to have your facts ready.
Yeah. You got to, it's bulletin board material, exactly. I guess. Something to complain about. What else? What else we need to talk about, Brian?
Orange Cassidy. Being compared to The Undertaker by Matt Hardy.
Oh, sheesh. I don't even care. The Orange Cassidy may go on to have a better career than The Undertaker. I'm not offended by that part of it. I'm just like, this is, the stretch here is just so stretchy. Like you could, this is like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Like you could compare, you could say everybody is the, we do it on the show all the time, but it's right. Like, yeah, it's kind of an Undertaker thing. I don't mean like a spooky undead thing. I mean like he doesn't need the belt thing, right? Or it's like he's the go-to guy, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Like when they need a main event and they don't have a main event player, they can just go to Orange. Is that the idea?
He was like Vince's go-to guy. He knew he could go out and get the job done. On top of that, Orange Cassidy was one of those guys. The similarity and the outlandish gimmicks.
So it's a dude as the gimmick.
Yeah, I will say this. Now I'm gonna have to take this seriously. The Undertaker's gimmick was fucking stupid. Like, as much as people are like, oh, God, what a great, like, they turned this wrestler no one cared about in WCW into this thing. Yes, and it worked. And, like, as a kid, I was just like, oh, my gosh, I'm so scared of this guy. But I said this on the Book of Wrestling, right? Like, everybody's like, back in those days, people were like, WWE, the WWF was so dumb. They had wrestling clowns and wrestling plumbers and wrestling hockey players. Like, no one says the wrestling zombie mortician from the Old West and his brother.
he was making wooden caskets with a wooden mallet. Like they showed him sanding down the door. Like, yeah, it was real hokey, real goofy.
And I guess you have to say that like a huge percentage of his in-ring, especially that first decade, was about as affected as Orange Cassidy's is, right? I mean, he was like doing zombie shit and like putting people in body bags and like this was a real thing. So I guess it's not that crazy.
The
Undertaker didn't necessarily need to evolve into Biker Taker and then MMA Taker to evolve out of that. It wasn't like he had to take a hard left turn. He was a steady evolution, you know, and until we got to the sort of WrestleMania legend Undertaker era. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, in that day and age, it felt a lot more seamless to put The Undertaker in the ring with Hulk Hogan when he won, you know, when he beat him that one time. Or like, I can't even think back. What were some of his first like non-horror movie feuds?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I still guess by the time he was wrestling Foley.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels.
That was still a storyline. That was still part of the horror movie. But that was but the in ring had changed a good bit, and Shawn Michaels is a great one. When he was wrestling Shawn, by the time we got in the Attitude Era, that was a whole different sort of thing.
Right, but it makes sense because that's all. I mean, Orange Cassidy is Orange Cassidy. Once I saw I saw him put his AEW contract in the blender with the orange, make the orange juice out of it, he's been that guy in the ring, out of the ring, on that podcast stage. So it makes sense. I mean, it's a rarity. I think you don't really see a lot of the people staying in gimmick to their move set. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like maybe what's I just feel bad. Is it Wendy, the woman that sleeps in NXT? She does the
Wendy Chu,
like she's close, but even then, I don't know if she.
She's incredibly close, but no one's comparing her to The Undertaker.
Yeah, well, I don't think she's there. Like, where Orange Cassidy has taken this character. There are a lot of people who I specifically remember him having detractors when he came in because people didn't know how long that type of gimmick.
He still has them.
But he's proved, I think he's the fact that he's been able to be a good wrestler has made people not talk about it as much as I've heard it back, you know, X amount of years ago.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, but I think that's, I mean, that's part of what we're pushing up against, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know that you could just, you can't throw him, you couldn't, I don't know. Can he, I mean, could you do him versus Omega just on like a big show seamlessly? Can you do, I feel like you can, it may be easier to do MJF, but like MJF. On some level, are you just telling the same story? I don't know. Maybe Orange is not like, you know, back in the early days of Orange's rise in AEW, he used to always like, I was just like, you can't fantasy book Orange Cassidy because you only get to use the, he's getting serious now one time.
Right.
But he's sort of evolved past that in a way that it's not really necessary. Maybe no. He's the Undertaker.
Well, and he still does it. Like he's getting serious. It's kind of like even in the ring when he stops doing, when he takes his hands out of his pockets and he starts to actually move fast. Like that's him. He hulked up. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of turned into important part of his in-ring gimmick. It's just what is a, like, let's say he gets the world title. Like what's a 4-month Orange Cassidy world title reign look like? Like not in ring, but week to week, you know, storyline, you know, promos and whatnot. I don't know. That's the side of it that I don't know would translate to a lot of people when they're looking at a world champion or someone at the top of the division.
Yeah, that's the question, but they've answered every question so far. I mean, I guess if the internet existed, if the internet and podcasts existed, and when did The Undertaker debut? 93?
Yeah, early 90s, yeah.
90. Survivor Series 90.
Yeah. 90. Mm-hmm. If the internet had existed then, yeah, we would have been like, yeah, that's really cool. But like, what's the shelf life on this thing?
Right. Yeah. But they, I mean, that was also the company that would end up having like the Repo Man. And you know what I mean? Like there was a certain level, there was a certain understanding of the types of gimmicks you would get there. Like that's why I think it's interesting because Orange is kind of an anomaly. Like there may be some other, like Danhausen's a good example, but even him, he's not.
Danhausen's not a champion.
He's not at the level of holding a title. So, you know, and Orange is really in a class by himself right now, at least on that roster, I would say.
Yeah. So what we're saying is he's the new Undertaker.
I think Matt Hardy's right.
Oh my gosh! What a debate. Matt Hardy's right every once in a while. Didn't Matt Hardy also say that Jeff Hardy's blown whisper in the wind was planned?
Yeah, he has to say that.
I'm not crazy, right? Didn't he say that?
I'd have to. Said that, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you justify that. I don't know what the story is.
I saw it.
He's got to stick up for his little brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, that title, that Impact was a TNA title match against Sting where he like could barely stand up. That was planned too. A lot of people don't know. As part of this long con, they were all going for just the pop of his comeback. Not in WWE. That was table setting for this last final run in AEW too.
Right. He was just working towards that. Yikes.
WWE just signed a super mega partnership with Twitch. Are we excited? Is there a reason to be excited here?
For the people that were upset that they couldn't see their favorite superstars on Twitch like they were before, like what I don't remember when that was during the pandemic, but a lot of them were doing it anyway. So but they're supposed to be a behind the scenes. There's some other type of stuff that they're building to add on to the regular shows every week.
Yeah. Oh, they're like onto Raw and SmackDown.
That's what it looked like. It would be the Twitch exclusive.
I'm gonna go, but I mean, listen. I hope so. I'm firmly in the believe it when I see it, Cam. Not that they're not gonna try to do it, but that they're not gonna be able to do anything that's that meaningful.
Right.
Listen. The WWE Network is obviously a big deal now. It's part of Peacock. It's, you know, there's less content, less interesting stuff, less functionality, whatever. But like, it's so cool that like that's where our pay per views are.
Right.
Just in general, the kind of shifting tide of media rights and everything has been a big deal. But in terms of just like technology, like the internet, not the internet, I guess it's too broad, but the streaming era
has not
been like as revelatory for WWE outside of just the existence of the network and that kind of stuff as and the accessibility that it provides as maybe I would have expected. You know, Facebook threw a bunch of money at him. We got the Mixed Match Challenge, which was great, but that's not like no one's going to look back at that and be like, that's when wrestling changed.
Right.
Twitch, I mean, there is so much. If WWE, if pro wrestling is going to evolve into something else, it's going to be through one of these partnerships like Twitch. It probably would actually happen a little bit more organically than, you know, a formal corporate partnership. But regardless, this is the sort of, there's a lot of opportunity here. I just don't know if it can. I'll believe it when I see it. You know, they'll do some content.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if there's actually inspiration to change. Or it doesn't have to be inspiration. It could just be dumb luck. But you know what I mean? I mean, if anything major is going to happen from there, we'll believe it when we see it. That's all I'm saying. Guys, we're getting CM Punk back. What but more of an upbeat note can we, like, I love your faces right now. Cal, how many CM Punk articles do we have in the ringer.com pipeline?
We got, the thing is like, I would have been more hype if I hadn't gotten all this information before we got all of this information. Like I knew to a T that this was supposed to be announced during the upfront. But then, like, literally that afternoon is like, oh, everything blew up and we couldn't do it. But we had all of the pieces. So when Tony Khan comes out and it's like, CM Punk's going to debut on the show. Like, I don't want to say I'm not hyped because I'm not, but like, I don't think these announcements are doing anything more to make me be like, I want the shit to just be here. I just want to watch the show.
You're just ready to watch some
wrestling. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Skip the Ace Steel and how close they are at the table and is Chris Jericho on or off? Stop it. Just show the show. It play.
There you go.
I'm sorry. I'm with you. We're almost there, man.
Almost.
Don't even worry about it.
It's bad.
We're practically there.
I'm begging to watch more pro wrestling. It's
what? I'm
openly accepting that I'm adding another 2 hours to my week of pro. You know what I mean? Like this, and it's on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I'm not enthused about the CM Punk AEW Saturday Night Show, but I'm more enthused to watch it than I am to hear people continue to regurgitate the same information about it. You know what I mean? Like these next 2 weeks could be hell just getting to the damn show.
That's true. But it'll be fun. It'll be a fun kind of hell, you know?
I'm interested in the intro. Is it going to look like Monday Nitro?
Like
the collision.
Wait, is it going to look like Nitro?
Yeah, the way, you know, Nitro, when the, like, everything would like blow up in the beginning.
Probably.
That's what I'm interested in. The graphics, the animations.
Some type of dark rainy streets. Yeah.
Dark rainy streets. That's what always did it for me.
Yeah.
That's the production nerd in me.
We'll see. Could just be a graphic. Could just be wrestlers posing in front of a camera again. Who knows?
Okay. Well, I'm excited. Well, it'll be fun to see it. I actually like the idea as much as I sort of am prone to joke about it, of this being like an enclosed universe and like CM Punk's actually got the pencil, you know, I don't believe it's the best decision, but I'm like deeply interested to see how it goes.
Right.
I mean, for all we know, CM Punk's just like a booking genius. That's so great. The wild thing about this generation, like all the great bookers were like ex-wrestlers they weren't all, but there were a lot of wrestlers that just got the opportunity to book the territory and some of them turned out to be geniuses. We don't know anything. Some of the guys have turned into producers, but nobody's like become a booker except for Triple H.
Right.
You know, like there's got to be some secret geniuses out there somewhere. Yeah. Who's got the mind of Dusty Rhodes?
They said Danielson has his hands a lot on the collision.
That'll be interesting to see what that means.
Danielson.
So Danielson's actually apparently helping out a lot. Jericho is obviously, you know, there's rumors that he's involved. There have been some sort of quieter rumors that the Elite really have their hands, you know, their fingers in dynamite now. Now that that's sort of their show. And some of that has, you know, been reflected, if you believe that, on the product. So, yeah, I mean, listen, let's make it more egalitarian. I'm all about it. Let's just do the old, like WCW thing where you just fire the booker every 6 months and bring somebody else in. To bring it full circle, the Jerry the King Lawler. I mean, this is sort of notorious, but he and Jerry Jarrett used to alternate every 6 months. One of them would book and then the other one would take over for 6 months. Just, it was always just like a straight cutoff line. Like, what, I mean, I'm sure there's a storyline or two that would come through, but it was like Jerry Jarrett's booking and it ends with, you know, Jerry the King Lawler like poking somebody's eye out with a broken pool cue in the main event of a match. And then the next week, it's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are wrestling because Jerry the King Lawler's booking.
Nightmare Freddy or Krueger Freddy or whatever. Some of my favorite videos is just a random guy walking around with claws on. Yeah. Shouts out to Memphis.
Anyway. That was so great. I hope AEW goes down that road. Anyway, that's the show. Thank you guys for doing this. You guys want to get some plugs in? You want to talk about Wednesday Worldwide? What do we got coming up on the site, Cal? What do you got to say?
At Cal on Twitter, Wednesday Worldwide. We may have an interesting situation this week on the show. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who may be stopping through, but definitely check Wednesday because if it happened, you'll hear it there.
Brian, you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, Brian H. Waters on Twitter. Make sure y'all check out Ringer Wrestling on TikTok. We got some cool videos up there. We got some of Dave's hot takes, some of Kaz's hot takes, some of Cal, some of Ben, some of Rosenberg, some of Dip, some of Stack Guy Greg, and of course myself. So Ringer Wrestling on TikTok.
Thank you, man. You can find me here. You can find me on the Press Box. Make sure you listen to all those great shows on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. This one, Wednesday Worldwide, of course, and Cheap Heat. Rosenberg had a great interview with Shayna Baszler up on Friday, too, so check that one out. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Brian for producing. Apologies as always to John Moxley. We'll see you back here on Thursday, humanoids.
Peace.